when the Lord gave me the word for our gathering this evening, as I was pondering it, I had to say, how can it be that God should love a soul like me? We're going back to Jude, and in that little epistle, we're going to look at one verse only. I've already given some folks a clue in the Sunday school this morning, and also some of the folks at home, because I was so thrilled with the word that the Lord gave me. And you know, Jude wanted to write like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He wanted to tell about this wonderful gospel. As he says in verse 3, he said, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. I wanted to tell you of the glories of Christ. And then he said, the Spirit of God made it very evident. It was needful for me to write a different message. So, in the sixth verse, we read of one of the awful things that he reported. He reported the awful tragedies of the cities of the plain. He reported the awful judgments upon Sodom and Gomorrah. But first he reported the terrible judgment that came upon the angels. Verse 6, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. As shocking as it may seem, a large number of the heavenly angels fell with Lucifer before the human race began to spread over the face of the earth and multiply. Lucifer, you know, is called various names. He's called Satan. He's called the devil. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, there's an interesting term used for him. If you study Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, easy to remember because you double the 14 and you get 28. And the first comes in Isaiah 14 and then Ezekiel 28, the descriptions of Satan's fall. He is called in Ezekiel 28:14 the covering, the anointed covering cherub. And that means that he was there very close to the Almighty God in the third heaven. Though highly privileged to live so near to God's throne, Satan, through his own pride, fell from that estate. And with Satan joined, we are told in other scriptures, one third of the vast angelic host that had before that time beheld and bathed in God's glory. And they fell from that high estate. Why did they fall? Well, one of the Puritans gave four reasons why they fell. He said, first of all, they chose to worship themselves rather than Almighty God. Secondly, he said, they refused their appointed ministry to an inferior race. For what are the unfallen angels doing? The unfallen angels are ministers to those who are the heirs of salvation. And these angels didn't want to have any part of ministering to lowly human beings made of earth. Third, he said, they were not content with their appointed place and station. And then fourthly, he said, they refused to submit themselves to an incarnate Lord and God. Here they were, this pure spiritual, celestial substance. And they were not about to submit themselves to an incarnate God who was joined perpetually, eternally with the human nature. So I want you to consider then, in response to these four things that the old Puritans said, consider what their fall cost them. I was just thinking about these things, and I want to share them with you. First of all, since they turned from the worship of the Almighty, they are now banished from that exalted throne room. In the time of Job, these evil spirits were allowed to come and parade before the throne of God. But once our mediator took that throne, all these evil demons, fallen angels, are not allowed any longer. You read carefully the writings of the Apostle John and you'll see that. Satan has been cast out and all of his minions with him. Secondly, since they left their bright appointed place, they are under chains, dwelling in darkness, fearfully awaiting the lake of fire. Third, since they refuse to minister good to lowly human beings, what are they doing now? They are now serving Satan in tempting, deceiving, and destroying fallen human beings. And fourth, since they refuse to submit to the incarnate Christ, they now tremble at His very presence. They grovel before Him and beg His mercy. And with fright, they await His final casting them into everlasting fire. Now, consider the fallen angels. Because considering the fallen angels should help prepare our hearts for the communion feast. How beautiful, how welcome, and how distinguishing is the love of God to human sinners. How greatly He has pitied us in our lowest state as human sinners because He did not show such pity upon the fallen angels. They are bound with chains of darkness while we are drawn with the very cords of divine love. The Lord did not spare the angels that sinned, nor would He assume their celestial nature. We read in the Scripture that He took not on Him the nature of angels. That was certainly an option open to Him if He had chosen. But He took not on Him the nature of angels. Instead, He assumed a true human nature in order to spare us. As we come tonight to celebrate with these two tokens of God's wondrous favor to us, the fallen angels are cowering and continue to be the object of God's eternal wrath. Immediately when they sinned, the Lord did not wait for them to repent. He made no offer of mercy to them, but at that first offense, He condemned them to everlasting chains in darkness. Oh, how different the Lord has been in His dealings with us. After we sinned, did He not wait long in mercy for us to repent? You think of the long patience of God, the long suffering of God toward us. After years and years of refusing His offers of grace, and after much trampling upon the blood of Jesus, His goodness did not stop pursuing us. Glory be to God, the God of sovereign free grace, who called out, turn ye, for why will ye die? But there were never any such terms of grace offered to the angels, and God will avenge Himself upon them fully in the future. Oh, how we ought to quake and tremble, for why did God not deal with us in the same manner? because we were far more miserable and wretched sinners than they were. We might still shiver in fear, except for those words in Proverbs chapter 8, that His delights were with the sons of men. He took not on Him the nature of angels, but He took on Him the seed of Abraham, that He might give Himself a sacrifice for poor men. Glory to God in the highest. This wonderful news, this glad tidings of great joy is good news indeed. Oh, the admirable love of God to Adam's rebellious offspring. The Lord has passed by creatures of celestial spirits, preferring worms of common clay to those beings of pure celestial spirit they once were of that. What can we say? We can say nothing. We can but wonder and admire the free grace and the unspeakable love of God. It would have been enough for us if the angels had simply brought a few drops of water to cool our tongues every now and then in hell. But oh, what love that the Lord Himself would come down to change places with us, that He would suffer the pains and the agonies and lie down in hell for us in order to raise us to the highest heaven. This is beyond amazing goodness. How can it be? That's all I can say. How can it be? Our Lord stooped down to purchase and recover sinful clods of earth by agonies and blood. And yet, my heart and your heart can still be dull and ungrateful to God for this unspeakable mercy. We should be ashamed of our coldness and our hardness of heart this night. Fallen angels have been left in their sin to perish, and I have been made a monument of free grace. And one day I will be raised to inhabit the very vacant rooms in glory from which the angels fell. Did you notice that in the verse? That they left their own habitation. And as the spirits of the justified perfected, that are even there now spoken of in Hebrews chapter 12, they are enjoying being in the very place, inhabiting the very rooms in glory from which the angels fell. What can I say? But not unto us, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Praise God. We are privileged to hear the joyful sounds of reconciliation and peace with God. And you know, such news the devils never heard, nor will they ever hear such blessings directed toward them. But how slow of heart I have been to receive and to believe the gospel. Have you ever thought about that? How slow of heart we have been to believe and to receive the gospel. But never will that sin be imputed to the fallen angels, because God was never willing to be reconciled to them. But God, who has so graciously time and time again brought before us the message of reconciliation, and yet so often we have refused and rejected it. God forbid then that anyone here in this room would be found rejecting and refusing God's offers of peace and reconciliation in Christ. For such was never offered to the fallen angels. How then can any human being escape if they neglect so great salvation? Salvation that is freely offered to sinners among men, but salvation that was never offered to the fallen angels. Let us pray. Oh God, it is an overwhelming reality that Thou didst choose for Christ to take upon Him the very seed of Abraham and to reject taking the nature of angels. Oh God, we thank Thee. We thank Thee because our very life and our eternity depended on that sovereign choice of God. Lord, we pray that Thou wilt abide with us as we would remember and feed and feast on the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus. We pray in His holy name. Amen. Amen.